How's it going, everybody?
Just waiting for that. Yeah, I was waiting for you to do that here. Our nice little tribute to Brian Alvarez here as we start off mini episode 5 of the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris, Kyle Ross.
How's it going, everybody?
I should mention that Brian Alvarez, a beloved past lounge guest here, so we're not tooling on him. At least I'm not, anyways.
I'm not either.
Okay.
I was just doing an impression.
Okay, it was a very good impression. Yes. I thought it was pretty funny.
I think
funny.
It was better off the air, too, which is why we did it.
It was very funny. I'm glad you decided to work that in here. Mini episode 5. And of course, having Kyle Ross on with us here again, that means we're going to be covering some subject matter ranging from hipsters to the start of the football season here to talking some graps as well. So who else could we talk all of these things about with
A true everyman.
Really.
Who else could possibly talk about all three of those things?
Exactly.
The entire world, yes.
I have no idea, but we have the one guy here who can do this. So without any further ado, we were talking about, again, Those Damn Hipsters with Kyle Ross, a regular segment that we've done with the show. I had teased this to you off air. An encounter that we had the other night, producer Steve and myself here, the FDH New York Bureau, Steve Cervillo in town. He and I somehow or another found ourselves down at Ripper Owens Tap House in Akron. Don Jameson and Eddie Trunk were there for some type of event. So we were down there, and Steve was doing his usual big game hunting, booking both of those guys for return visits to the FDH Lounge. Stay tuned for that. Also, Ripper Owens himself, who will be coming on. But while we were there, amidst the usual sea of aging metalheads and everyone else in the crowd here, myself being a guy that grew up in Parma, Ohio, and presently lives a half mile from Brook Park, Ohio, I'm familiar with the species. They've been all around me my entire
Alimony
life.
Alimony Jacks. Did you have the fine pleasure of being with us that evening at Alimony
I was
Jacks?
Not, but I heard the story. Okay, Alimony Jacks wasn't that the place that the demolition picture on
yes,
the wall?
Yes, okay. It was. Yeah. Ryan was talking to some chick, and I started elbowing him. Hey, look at that demolition picture above the wall. Yes.
Yeah, that was Alimony Jacks. I've heard such things about that. But, yeah, I'm familiar with the species, but we're there. So that's pretty much all I'm expecting to see is that guy and that girl, I guess.
A lot of talk about the Megadeth reissue of Peace Sells But Who's Buying.
Yes, okay. A lot of that. And amidst all of that,
which is
there
good,
was
the
a legitimate bona fide hipster that was there with a young lady. But I wasn't exactly sure he was a hipster at first. He had the requisite black glasses, black-rimmed glasses.
Check.
He had a pencil-thinned mustache.
Check.
Weird-ass kind of like...
Well, that can just be trailer trash, too.
Scraggly sideburns and effed-up kind of hair, cowlick, etc. But it was a thing where I had to wait until the guy, like, turned around for at least, like, 2 to 3 seconds to get a full beat on him. I mean, I'm not saying this to be insensitive, although I'm capable of it on a regular basis, but I truly thought at first this guy was a special needs person who'd wandered in off the street. I thought he was that as opposed, and then I'm like, okay, he's a hipster, he's just going for the effect, whatever. But yeah, I thought this was they don't use the word retarded anymore to classify people, but I truly thought this was one of the denizens of Harpo's circa Sunday night pay-per-view, the folks who, it's still real to me, damn it. I thought it was one of those folks who'd come there for whatever reason. Why such a hipster would be there for Don Jameson, Eddie Trunk, and Ripper Owens, I have no idea. That sounds like a separate conversation altogether.
Well, you know why. He's trying to be so cutting edge. He's trying to be ahead of the curve. Oh, you'll never believe what I did. You know what I'm saying?
That's
vintage hipster, you know, going against the grain right there. He's going against his own people.
It kind of is.
Maybe.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't tell.
All right. So you're saying essentially like 80s metal has been out for so long that the hipsters are trying to get ahead of it because by the mid-teens it's going to be hot again. There's a revival coming of 80s metal. Is that what you're telling me?
That's out of their wheelhouse.
Okay.
That's out of their wheelhouse.
Okay. Well, were there any other hipster things you had? I thought you'd indicated you had a couple of hipster things for the next time we did this.
Yeah, and this is kind of old. You know, this is something that's been brewing for a while. I think I've told you about this a few times.
Okay.
Here's my hipster story.
All right.
I don't know if you've been following this legal proceedings here with Jimmy Page, of Led Zeppelin, obviously, where apparently it's come out that he may have taken some guitar riffs from some old blues acts and not given them the proper credit. Believe it or not, if you put this on Wikipedia, if you look up Jimmy Page on Wikipedia, there is stuff on there about this.
Okay.
But the only people advocating this and talking about this are the hipsters. And why? It's their usual anti-achievement, tearing something down that's big. They're sliding scales of justice. Let's rip on Led Zeppelin, but hype on some group you've never heard of before. Okay. I mean, what's the point in all this? What, does Led Zeppelin stink now? No, they don't. It just, and that just bothers me. I used to be a lot more fired up about it, you know, about 3-4 weeks ago when somebody first brought this to my attention.
All
right. But it's like, so we rip. People, they're like, oh, that's so terrible. Oh, did you, okay, maybe. So people tell me this. Like, okay, so maybe you stole it. Like, well, isn't that terrible? I'm like, not really.
My only question on the Led Zeppelin Wikipedia page is that above or below the sex with a groupie and a dolphin one on there? There was the one on there about some type of wild sea animal that was allegedly engaged in a sex act with them.
I don't believe that's on there, but okay. I have heard the story, yes, yes.
All right, well, we'll have to consult with VH1 Classic to see what holds up as Led Zeppelin canon for this week. But
who's that guy that does that show about the Eddie, what's his name?
Eddie Trunk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there we go. That's yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah, that was an Eddie Trunk. Let's put him over again. A once and future lounge guest here, a true authority on all things metal. They did a live version of Stump the Trump the other night, and the man really knows his trivia on such things here. And he has a great point, by the way. Not to sound like a hipster myself, but all the great acts that are not in the Rock Hall. For example, I have to say, of course, my all-time favorite group, Rush. It is an atrocity against mankind.
Oh,
they should be strung up and tried. Jan Wenner should be tried at The Hague for not having Rush in the Rock Hall.
That's funny. I was going to bury him, too,
okay.
Your buddy Jan Wenner. And, yeah. then you took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, like even a group like Kiss, who I don't like personally, like how are they not in the Rock Hall?
Yeah, how
you know, like I mean, really, I mean, you know, I mean, it's
seriously.
One thing if it's like one guy's subjective taste,
okay,
and it's another thing if it's just to acknowledge achievements in rock and roll, which is what I thought it was. I mean, you're not gonna like every group that's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, I think Kiss is kind of stupid. I mean, they had some good tunes, but I mean, they all deserve right. to be in. I mean, really, like who doesn't know Kiss?
And I mean, Journey's not in there, I believe, right? Is Journey? Journey's not in the Rock Hall, I don't believe.
Other than Separate Ways, what did they do?
No. Well, come on.
come on. That Steve Perry solo career is a real dark stain on that blue dress, I'll tell you that much. Okay. I mean,
it was kind of funny because we were talking about Ripper Owens the other night, and I guess that he had fronted Judas Priest for the one album after that. And I said to the New York Bureau at the time, I said, well, some instances of the replacement doppelganger sound are a little bit more lasting than others. Just ask Steve Perry. He's been waiting for the doppelganger sound guy to leave and vacate forever, and that guy's just sticking around. Why deal with Steve Perry's issues when you can just plug in a Steve Perry sound alike?
By the way, on that replacement album for Judas Priest, that's straighter sound, I imagine.
Oh, probably. No more Hellbent for Leather, eh?
Do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
Or do we not do that anymore?
We do not do that anymore on this platform.
Sounds stupid.
Well, you know what? We actually now we do so ironically, which might make us hipsters.
Okay. Oh yeah, there we go.
Everything ties back in. Now we're sort of hipsters in that regard. Okay, well I'm glad you brought up the Jimmy Page thing here because that's a hipster type angle. I'm going to tease this for future editions here. I had indicated previously one of our FDH Lounge dignitaries who we've done a lot of stuff with, ironically on niche sports, which might make him a hipster, but he's been in for our tennis and our golf drafts, John Adams. A fellow who is an artist who lives in the Tremont area of Cleveland.
Makes him a hipster. Not talking about tennis and golf, but yes.
A fellow who cherishes his vintage T-shirts and faux vintage T-shirts. We're going to get a little bit of pro and con hipster with you and him sitting across the table here subsequently.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
That's going to be fun.
I'd love to do that, yes.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. He's Johnny's a guy. He doesn't go so far as to cherish PBR tall boys. I mean, he doesn't get carried away with it.
I heard, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had PBR, by the way? Because I only drink, a lot of people I hang out with drink it, and like if it's the only thing around, I will.
I would call it horse piss, but that would be an insult to a fine equine animals everywhere.
Somebody told me this. I don't know if they're pulling my chain.
Okay.
But next time, or if you just want to experiment, take a swig of it.
All right.
Tell me if you think this is true. They told me PBR is just Budweiser and Bud Light mixed together.
That sounds like the king of all urban legends.
I'm telling you, I took a sip.
All right.
They might be onto something.
We'll try it.
Wouldn't that just rip tear down the hipsters' world if their precious beer was made up of Budweiser and Bud Light?
Yeah. I'll try anything once. Yeah, I'll see that. But that's why would it be that much cheaper than Bud and Bud Light?
don't know.
I mean, that's...
I don't know. I'm just saying, hey, the guy said it. That's what it is, and it tasted like it.
I don't want to burst your bubble, but, I mean, that's got urban legend written all over it. I mean, that's like, sit down to watch Oz with, what is it, the Black Album playing, or what's the thing that supposedly syncs up perfectly, Oz?
Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark Side of the Moon, that's
yes,
right.
Yes.
The Dark does that actually work, by the way?
Yes.
Okay,
my
all right.
Grandpa did that, by the way, of all people.
Really?
It shows how demented I am.
I was going to say, out of my fellow Bobcats, if there's anybody else who I know who's been at their 4 years at the Harvard and the Hocking would have done that, it would have been you. So I knew
I've actually never done
ask.
It, okay. But I've just taken people have told me, oh, yeah, it works. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, it works.
Okay. All right. Well, I knew
it
you.
It was always just too much work. A DVD to sync with an album, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was always too stoned to get up to do either.
Yeah. Actually, that is the one part that doesn't sync with that. Yes, the part about initiative. Yeah, yes, that doesn't sync with it.
I mean, where's the remote? You need a dual remote for this thing. And oh, crap, there's no batteries.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, our segue from this into football, I want to put the question to you about whether it makes me a hipster or not. I am picking the Detroit Lions to win the wild card this year in the NFC, to be one of the two wild card teams. I realize it looks like it's jumping on a bandwagon because a lot of people are touting Detroit, and they're real rags to riches story here with this recent 0-16 with Rod Marinelli there. But I do believe, especially if Matt Stafford stays upright for the year, which is the $64,000 question, but you'll look at that offense, you'll look at the interior of that defense there. Show me anything in the recent history of the league that stacks up to Fairley and Sue. Nick Fairley, by the way, who could make a fair amount of money on the side working a Biz Markie impersonation at nightclubs all around the Motown area. But tell me anything that would stack up to the interior of that line. I am drinking the Kool-Aid for the Detroit Lions here. Am I a hipster? Am I wrong? Am I whatever?
Well, I'll tell you what. You'll be drinking your Kool-Aid at the Beachland Ballroom this year, buddy, okay? Because the Detroit Lions are my number one most overrated team heading into 2011.
Really?
Yes. There's a couple things working. Now, you know me. I'm not the kind of football fan that can tell you, you know, who's third on the depth chart at middle linebacker.
Okay.
I look at history. I look at statistics. I look at situations, okay?
All right.
Let's take a look at a few things with the precious Detroit Lions that everyone seems to love so much. Now, I'm rooting for them. Now, I'm not one of these people who, you know, if they start doing well, will just root against them so I can be right. I mean,
okay.
it'd be a great story. Like you mentioned, we're only, what, two seasons removed from 0-16?
Yeah.
Okay. Last year, after another Thanksgiving loss, and trust me, those in the betting community are well aware of the Detroit Lions, how they've ruined many Thanksgiving dinners for us in the past, when everything looks so good in the first half, and you know, you're eating those hors d'oeuvres, oh, this is going to be great, and then you're just like, you have no appetite after they blow a double-digit lead in the second half.
Disclaimer, this information for educational purposes only.
Oh, yes, pardon me. Well, they lost to, I believe it was New England last year, okay? They
yes.
were 2-10 after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Okay? So you're talking about a team that was just 2-10 at one point last
right.
year, okay? That's bringing back essentially the same nucleus.
Didn't they lose every game by like half a point, though?
Now, hold on a second, okay? They did finish strong. That's obviously what
okay.
a lot of people are pointing. They were 6-10. They won their final four games. Let's analyze those final four games, okay? Two of those games were against Miami and Minnesota, who had quit
okay.
by that point in the season. So, yeah. They should have won those games.
As a Fish fan, I'll give you that.
One of them was against Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers got injured on the first series or second series.
Okay.
And they did nothing after that. It was like a 9-3 win. And the other one was against Tampa Bay where they were the beneficiary of an extremely questionable call by the officials. They should
okay.
have lost that game. So really, those four wins down the stretch were not all that great, okay?
Okay.
And, again, last time they went 4-0 in a preseason, okay, they now, I
long
can't remember.
Time, yeah.
No, they just did it. They went 0-16
right.
in the regular season.
That's
I mean, this
right.
is a team that would go on then to lose like 40-something of their neck, like 42 of 44 games
yeah.
after that, okay? This is not a, to me, it would be a great story, but you're asking too much. Making a huge leap in the NFL does not really happen. This is a team. There's an interesting study done, and I talk about statistics a lot,
okay.
that when a team improves from year to year by like 3 or 4 net wins,
mm-hmm.
like say, I'm saying just to clarify, just to, you know, I'm sure most people get it, but just to, we're all on the same page. Say a team is 2-14 one year, and then they go 8-8 the next year.
Mm-hmm.
The tendency by the public is, oh, they're going to keep improving. History says that's not the case. Teams, on average, that do that improve by like 5, especially when it's like 5 or 6 net wins, and
mm-hmm.
we'll get into this with teams like Tampa Bay and St. Louis later on. When teams, they do not improve the next year. So Detroit went from 2 to 6 wins.
So for me to say 6 to 9, history says they're a lot more likely to regress?
No, if it's more than three. If it's more, three is if you improve by four net wins or more, chances are, and it works the same way in reverse, too, with the losses. We'll talk about that with teams like Cincinnati, too.
Well, I'm saying, no, I think they go from six to nine. Is six to nine within that historical framework of what you're talking about?
Well, no, but I'm saying, no, you're missing. They went from two to six, okay?
So only four, okay.
So history says if you improve by four games from the previous season, you will not improve again the next year. So, so what you're saying from six to nine, that would go against a lot of history.
It would, okay.
So I'm saying this to me.
Okay.
Now, they're good enough. Believe it or not, what I saw in the preseason, they look pretty good. They could improve by a game. I do not see them finishing better than 7-9. I've got them at 6-10 and in last place in an NFC North, which is tough, but will probably only send one team to the playoffs.